Going to sing together the opening hymn tonight. In our hymn book, it's the hymn 305. We have an anchor that keeps the soul. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We're coming tonight, as you know, very particularly to pray for Ukraine, to pray for the war, that the Lord will intervene. If pestilence and war does not bring God's people to prayer, I don't know what will. And so tonight is a very special meeting for us as a church, as the body of Christ, as we come to pray for people that are in great need and families that are suffering. Will your anchor hold? We'll stand to sing. There's no doubt about that in these days in which we live. And we have a number of folks to pray for, like our sister Lorena. She appreciates the congregation here, remembering her as she faces her treatment at this present time, that the Lord will bless her and carry her through these difficult days. Our sister Margaret was disappointed today because she was to have her surgery, but that has been postponed because the surgeon has taken unwell. We continue to remember Maureen and Jennifer and Nigel and we Harry, and some of you may have heard that Pat Cardy was laid to rest today. So remember Andy and the family before the Lord. Very especially, and we'll come to this later on, we are thinking about Ukraine, and we've given this special call to prayer, calling all our folks to the throne of grace. It's a European country. It's not too far away. And I'm sure as you've watched the scenes, you've empathized with the people that are suffering so, all the devastation that is being caused and the uncertainty of the future, and these lives that are being lost and so forth. We need to really seek the Lord tonight, and we will come to a time of prayer to remember Ukraine. And there may be people who couldn't make it to the prayer meeting and they're praying with us at home. But I'm sure in the light of what's happening across the water that if folks were able to make it to the prayer meeting, they would have been here. It's such an important time. Never before have I seen the world rising up, first of all, in opposition to what is happening and the wickedness of Putin, and also the support that is very evident for Ukraine from the religious world, from the political world, the business world, the sports world, right across the nations of the earth. And what we see on television in the media reports reminds me of what was happening back in the Second World War. Not that I was there, but we see the pictures and we know the footage, and these people are really suffering. Our text since coronavirus days has been 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. And you will know that in that whole passage, Solomon is setting various scenarios before the Lord, whether it's pestilence, and in the case of COVID, of course, that's what it has been, or war. If war should rise, what do? Well, we seek the Lord. We humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, and then he promises to hear and forgive and heal. So we'll bow together in prayer. Eternal God and gracious Father, we have come aside in a very special way tonight to pray. Just to gather here, very, very conscious that in another part of the world, not too far away, there is a nation that is under great attack. There is a people that is suffering immensely. We think of all the displacement, the refugees, the hundreds of thousands of people that have fled, lives that have been lost, the sorrow that that has brought. We think, Lord, of the many ways in which people suffer because of war. And Lord, we will come to give ourselves to prayer this evening a little while later. But we take this moment to set before the great needs there, especially among the family of God. And we pray for the Church of Christ in that part, that you will bless your people, that you will have a special eye upon them this night. Remember the Cardy family too, in the midst of grief. We are glad that Pat is with the Lord today after all the suffering in recent times that she's come through. For her, it was absent from the body, present with the Lord, immediately to be there, to behold the Savior, to be reunited with loved ones, her young daughter that was brutally murdered all those years ago. We pray for Andy and the family that you will comfort them and help them. Thank you for the triumph of the gospel. We thank you for that sweet assurance that you've given to them. And we pray that you'll continue to do that. We remember the sick of the church. We have mentioned Margaret and these others, and we want to commit them again into your hands, praying for them that you will support them, draw near to them, that your presence will be known, that you will surround them in your love and grace. And remember those few days that we spent in Romania, the work that was done, the people that we met with, the pastors that we sought to encourage, the seed of the gospel that was sown, the word of God that was presented, Lord. We just pray your blessing even now upon those things. Thank you that David has returned safely home from Uganda. And we pray that you will bless that ministry that he was engaged in and continue to use it for your glory and for the good of the people. Bless this congregation tonight. Give us a mind that is set on God. Give us a heart that is in tune with the things of the Lord tonight. Oh, pour out the Spirit of God upon this people this evening. Lead us and direct us. Keep us in the center of your will. Prepare us, Lord, for tonight in the worship of God, in the hearing of your word, in the season of prayer that will follow. Come among us, Lord, with great power, and may the Holy Ghost just lay hold upon us tonight and deal with us as a people and bring us to the place where we ought to be every day in our lives. Help us to please the Lord. Help us to have that testimony that Enoch had. He walked with God. And we're told also that he pleased God. And Lord, we do want a walk in this life that pleases thee. So continue with us now and do us good for Jesus' sake. Amen. Warm word of welcome to the congregation this evening. Good to see each and every one. And those that are listening on the internet, being part of the service, we welcome you. We remind our young people of the Bible study tomorrow night at the Youth Fellowship. And the speaker is Chrissy Blair. Remember Chrissy in prayer. Friday night is also presbytery at 8 o'clock, and that will be by Zoom. Saturday morning is the open air in the center of the town at 11, and then do remember the Sabbath day. The prayer meeting at 8 o'clock, the Sabbath school 10:30, Bible class 10:30, worship service at 12 noon, and then our family night service when we hope to have Charlotte Cahy from Porto Vogue. I was in touch with her this week, and she has been suffering with a cold and with throat trouble, so she's hoping to be here, she says. You pray for her for a speedy recovery. Refreshments will be served. It's family night, and just like the last time, if we can ask our ladies to bring a dozen wrap bar, something like that, on Sunday night. Do remember the prayer meeting at 6:30. The school was to have a special breakfast morning some time ago, and that had to be cancelled because of COVID. And now it has been rescheduled for Saturday week. That's the 12th of March from 8:30 to 12 p.m. It'll be in the Carson Complex, and you are invited, and all the proceeds will go, of course, to our school. And although we are thinking of Ukraine tonight, especially, tonight is also the night that we pray for the school. Next Thursday night, we hope to bring a report on the trip to Romania. We're glad to be back with you. Thank you for your prayers. We had a very busy schedule, getting so many things fitted in, but by the grace of God, we were able to do that. And both the gentlemen that were with me, they will have something to say at the prayer meeting also. We also welcome David home. He's not here tonight. He's babysitting. But we welcome him home in the Savior's name. We look forward to hearing his reports as well. These are all the announcements for now. There are some slides that I want to show you, some little videos as we prepare for the prayer meeting. And remember Ukraine, but we'll come to that later on after the message. First of all, we will sing 568, this great hymn that reminds us, whatever our circumstances, God will take care of us. And as we think of our brethren and sisters in Ukraine, this is a hymn that came to my mind. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. Let's sing it with meaning, and let's think of our brothers and sisters afar off who are in great need. Stand to our feet as we sing. I want you to open your Bible tonight to the Psalm 34, a very precious chapter, one that we love and know so well. And I feel led to this Psalm tonight, Psalm 34. Psalm of David, as you see from the title, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. Thus he begins, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What is man? What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to be cut off, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth." I want to keep that verse in mind as we come to pray tonight. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Verse 17, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." So the overall theme this evening, of course, is praying for Ukraine, and I want to do that in the light of this chapter. I have been drawn in my heart to this beautiful psalm. It's a message that has been a blessing to the believing church ever since it was penned by the sweet psalmist. Often these words have been read in hospital wards, with suffering families, with individuals in conflict, and they have instilled immense peace into the soul and bestowed comfort and consolation to the afflicted. In these days, we are remembering the suffering people of Ukraine, especially those who are of the household of faith. And that's our dear brothers and sisters in Christ. We have not met them. We have not sat with them. We have not, in a physical sense, fellowshiped with them. We have not visited them. But we do feel for them nonetheless. And we're one with them because, you see, we're part of the family of God. We feel for those that are suffering in these days. Families that have been bereft of their loved ones. Those that have been injured. The thousands who are taking refuge in underground bomb shelters and subways. Mothers who are giving birth in dire situations. Multitudes who have fled. Over 1 million people who have fled as refugees. And of course, the question in our hearts, and I'm sure it's in your heart tonight, what can we do? What can we do? We're over 2,000 miles away and we feel so helpless. What can we possibly do? So many have asked that question that has been upon our minds. It has been in our hearts in these days of turmoil and trouble. Well, we know that we can give. We have already made a contribution, and there will be more, but we've made a contribution to Faith in Action. And money was sent out. A lot of money came in from the free churches and other evangelical churches, and money was sent out to help the people of God there. We have also been able to give a contribution to the Bethany Church in Timisoara, where they are receiving now refugees. And the first refugees arrived yesterday with the church. And we'll continue to help them. Our brother Donald Fleming will be with us on Sunday night week. That's the earliest he can come. He's going around the country. He's doing a lot of meetings. He's setting before the Christian church the needs of Ukraine. He's been a missionary there and has been closely aligned with the church in that land. So Sunday week at the 7 o'clock meeting, he'll be here. And the mission board decided the other night to officially launch an appeal. You probably heard on the news tonight, the best thing that you can do is to give money. And the money is sent out, and the money can buy locally in the countries where these people are who are suffering. And the mission board have launched that appeal. You've possibly seen it already on the announcement WhatsApp group or on Facebook. And we are going to organize. We're not going to send out a lot of things, but we're going to organize a pallet, at least one, maybe two, to go out to the refugees in Romania. We've heard this evening that the total amount, I've forgotten the total amount, but it's 100,000 refugees have come into Romania, and of course we know over a million in total to other places. So we want to help that little bit. We know of these families that are arriving at the church. We spent 2 days with another pastor when we traveled down to Bucharest and visited that area, and he has friends and family who are on those border areas with Ukraine, and they're suffering, and we're going to try and help him as well. So we can certainly give. We can pray. And that's what we want to do tonight. This is the most important service that we can engage in. We can seek God on behalf of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We can pray for them, for their protection, that the Lord will keep them. We can pray for their provision. You know, some of these people have left everything behind, and they have very little clothes with them, they have very little food with them, maybe no water. Some parts of the country are running out of water, and they have no money with them, very little, we understand. So we can pray for their provision. We can pray for their peace, that God will give them peace of heart, first of all, in the midst of their circumstances, but he will give peace to that land and do it speedily. And we can pray for power, that the Lord will give them the power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness in the midst of what is happening in Ukraine. The psalm before us highlights the subject of prayer. The psalmist is blessing God in the midst of the circumstances that he is in. And that's how the psalm begins. And we'll come to these verses just in a moment or two. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He is seeking the Lord in this psalm, all the way through, and he's seeking him earnestly. When we think of verse 4, for example, I sought the Lord, he heard me, delivered me from all my fears. Verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And he's taking great comfort in the fact that God hears prayer. He receives the prayers of his people. For example, verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The fact that troubles are mentioned shows that prayer is the right course of action. This is what the psalmist is doing here. As he speaks about his troubles, he's coming to the Lord in prayer. He speaks about multiple afflictions and great deliverance in verse 19 of the chapter. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And that's what we want. We want deliverance. We want to see the people of God especially delivered out of their troubles in Ukraine. You'll probably know that Psalm 34 was written in the background of great difficulty. David is a fugitive from Saul. He was forced to flee into Philistine country, in fact, to the Philistine city of Gath, where he found no refuge there, and he narrowly escaped. This particular history is recorded for us back in 1 Samuel and the chapter 21 at the end part of that chapter. In fact, from verse 10, where David arises, he flees because of Saul. Saul is after him. Where does he go? He goes to Achish, the king of Gath. The servants of Achish said unto him, "Is not this David the king of the land? Did not they sing to one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And you'll know how he feigned himself to be mad in order to escape. And the king let him go. And then we're told, as soon as you come into the next chapter, chapter 22 of 1 Samuel, that David escaped to the cave of Adullam. We've often thought about David in that cave and some of the psalms that were written from there. There were many needy and desperate men who gathered themselves unto David at that particular time. Some people, as you read the description of these men, would call them, if we wanted to put a modern term upon it, losers. And that's who gathered themselves, this motley crew, unto David at this time. And it's very possible that this joyful psalm was written in that cave, and it was sung in the presence of those men that were around David. And so as we come to pray for Ukraine, and especially the thousands of dear believers in that land and others who have fled, it will be good for us to keep this psalm in mind. And there's just three things that I want to leave with you tonight. There's so much I could preach on from the Psalm 34, but just three thoughts. First of all, as you come to verse 1, I want to call this a difficult challenge. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I never read this verse without a sense of great challenge in my own heart. So easy to bless the Lord when everything is well and it's going well with you. When you're basking in the sunlight of pleasure and prosperity. When you're on the mountaintop of blessing. And you're riding the crest of the wave. Life is good. Health is good. Personal circumstances are good. Family is good. Business is good. Friendships are good. Church life is so good. And we can sing with joy and we can worship with contentment in such times. We're not facing any major crisis. We are not facing some terrible catastrophe. We're not in a painful experience or in a dark and dreary situation. But what when we are drawn into such? That's the question. It is the valley experience. It's the great swelling time. It's the adverse circumstances that has overtaken. Perhaps it's a health issue. And you'll know from the announcements, every week we have dear members of this congregation and they have health problems. And we feel for them. And we think of some of our ministers that have been suffering month after month. We think of those that are suffering with cancer, others with COVID. Think of our dear sister, Lorena. We tried to get to see her, but she wasn't able to receive us because she's shielding as she receives the chemotherapy treatment. We think of what Pat Carty came through in these latter months of her life and all the suffering that she endured before she passed away this week. What when family crisis erupts, or when business collapses, or when jobs are lost, or when some heartbreaking experience overtakes our path? What if it's war? And this is certainly very real in Ukraine.
in these days. No longer a threat. The mad Putin, you might call him. I'm not going to invade Ukraine. Even when there were tens of thousands of Russian soldiers gathering at the border and all the tanks coming, I'm not going to invade. It's a reality now. We think of these tanks, 40-mile convoy heading towards the capital city. We think of the bombs. You've seen it. The shootings, the fighting, the families that are fleeing, people that are in shelters. Think of the death and destruction. We think of the deprivation. No food, no money, no hiding place, no homes, no warm clothing in many cases. We think of those babies that are being born in the underground places where the mothers have gone to. We think of the fear and the confusion and the anarchy, and we've seen it all on the media reports. What about blessing God in such times? In these appalling situations, and yet we have seen the church do that. We have seen the church worship. We have seen the church pray and praise God in the midst of their circumstances. We have seen families singing together. We have seen the faith and the confidence of these people in the midst of these crisis situations. We've seen a church that is strong. David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And I think there's two challenging words there. The word all and the word continually. I will bless the Lord at all times. Not just sometimes, but all times. No matter what my times are, no matter what I'm going through. And his praise will be in my mouth when I'm in the mountaintop only. When I'm in the crest of the wave only. No. Continually. Even when darkness has come and I'm down in the valley. Here is the sweet psalmist of Israel coming through dire circumstances in his experience, fleeing from Saul, escaping from Achish, the Philistine king. He's also called Abimelech, as you see from the title of the psalm, which was a name given to the rulers of the Philistines, but his proper name was Achish. Will you pray for your dear brothers and sisters in Christ over in Ukraine and these other countries to which they've fled? Will you take them upon your heart? Will you pray that they will not lose heart? Will you pray that they will retain their confidence in God and be able to bless them as they are doing in these awful days of conflict? A difficult challenge, isn't it, if we're honest? Secondly, there is a delightful consolation. And I point you back to verses 4 and 6 again, where we have these tremendous words. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, delivered me from all my fears. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. Here the psalmist seeks the Lord earnestly, fervently, believingly. We have often identified with these verses. We have often sought the Lord, haven't we? We have often cried, just like this poor man. We have been there. We might as well have been the poor man of this psalm, rejoicing in the fact that God does hear us. He receives our prayers. He answers our calls, and he sends deliverances. Yes, he delivers us from fears. He saves us from troubles. We can put the Ukrainian church members in here. These verses of the chapter fit them so well. We have seen them pray. We've seen them cry. Even little children. And I have a little extract of that tonight. Little children crying to God in one of the pastor's homes. It is our earnest plea as we come alongside them in prayer that we will know the certainty of deliverance and salvation of which these texts speaks. David's simple testimony is very powerful. These hundreds, these thousands of years later, David sought the Lord. He looked to him in the midst of the crisis and the difficulties that he found himself in. And the Lord was merciful. The Lord intervened. He heard him. He delivered him from his fears. And as David, the poor man of our text, cried with earnest pleas and supplications in all his troubles, God stepped in and God saved him. God hears his needy children with love, sympathy, and with action. God answers our prayers with action. This poor man cried. Someone has said, a cry is short, not sweet. A cry is brief, not bitter. A cry is the language of pain. A cry is the natural production. A cry has much meaning and no music. May our fellow believers in Ukraine experience God's deliverance and salvation as they cry to him. May this psalm comfort them and other sweet promises that they may dwell upon in these days. May the following verses that we read towards the end of the chapter reassure them. As you think of verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. God sees them tonight. His ears are open unto their cry. He's listening to them tonight. The righteous cry, verse 17, the Lord heareth, delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. One third and final point to give to you tonight, and that is what I might call a divine commander. In verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. David narrowly escaped death among the Philistines. He was still a hunted, wanted man by King Saul, who was determined to kill him. The men who had gathered around him were discontented individuals. Some of them, as I said, might even be called losers. David was at a genuine low point in his life at this time. And yet he was filled with praise and trust and confident that God had an angel camping round about him. The triumph and joy of this psalm is so wonderful. It would be easy to forget the context. You might read this psalm and not realize how it was written, when it was written, what the circumstances were of the writing of this psalm. Because really, it's one of darkness and gloom. James Boyce, an American Reformed theologian and Bible teacher, said, "It is for people who find themselves at the absolute low point in life, which is where David was, or find themselves between a rock, which in this case was King Saul, and a hard place, which was King Achish. It is for you when everything seems to be against you." So it's for you tonight if you are in a place of difficulty. And we know that it is for our Ukrainian friends as well, in a very special way. God's angel is round about his people to guard them, to protect them, to keep them in every situation of life. The angel might be invisible, but he's real. He's very real. And we're often not aware of that. We probably go through life not really sensing that there's an angel round about us. I believe in guardian angels. I believe it's very possible there's at least one for every believer. Certainly there's one for every group of believers, but maybe one for every believer, the angel of the Lord camping round about you. Sometimes we need to have our eyes open to realize this, just like Elisha's servant. Do you remember they came to the city of Dothan? The Syrian army was pursuing, and they came to the city of Dothan. They surrounded it. They were going to reap havoc upon that city because they were after the man of God. And back in 2 Kings chapter 6, we have a servant that is very, very distressed Verse 14 says, they sent thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city round about. You get the picture. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? That's all he could see. He wasn't aware that God's angels were round about. All he could see was the great host of the Syrian army with their chariots, with their horses, with all the threat that that instilled into his heart. In verse 16, the man of God answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So there were the horses and the chariots of the Syrian army. But here's God's horses, here's God's chariots. And the thought is the same. The Lord camping round about his people, as our text tells us here. Oh, I believe that the Lord guards his people. I believe in those guardian angels. Remarkable are the stories that some missionaries have reported. And of course, we need to be very careful about these airy-fairy reports in a charismatic age, and we can't account for them all. We can't explain them. We can't authenticate them. But let me just finish by telling you what happened in the life of one of our missionaries many, many years ago. In 1858, John G. Patton, the Scottish missionary, went to the New Hebrides, a chain of islands in the South Pacific. He went there to evangelize the natives, who were steeped in demonic worship, witchcraft, and cannibalism. One night, the savage warriors surrounded the mission headquarters with the intent of burning out the missionaries and killing them. John Patton and his wife, Margaret, turned to the Lord in prayer, pleading promises like you have in the Psalm 91 for angelic assistance. They claimed the protection of the blood of Jesus. They prayed throughout that terror-filled night. And the next morning, when the first rays of sunlight appeared, the Pattons saw that their attackers had fled. And with grateful hearts, they praised the Lord for this miraculous deliverance that they experienced. Almost a year later, the chief of that tribe that had come to kill the Pattons got converted. He came to know Christ as a Savior. And Patton, remembering what had happened, he asked the chief what had kept him away that night when they had come to kill them. And the missionary was a little bit surprised, and I would say shocked, whenever the chief said, Who was the great crowd that was round about you that night? There were no men with us. Just my wife and myself praying. The chief insisted that he and his tribe had seen hundreds of big men standing guard outside the headquarters that night, all dressed in white shining garments with drawn swords in their hands. Only then did Patton realize that God had dispatched an army of angels to protect him and his wife. The chief agreed that there could be no other explanation. May God be pleased to dispatch an army of angels to Ukraine. And may the believing church know the reality of God's angel camping round about them at this time. Some of you will have seen a very interesting photograph that's appeared on social media. I had it sent to me a number of times, and I'm going to show it to you now on the screen. And this is over the capital city. Somebody said that this was photoshopped. Maybe it has been photoshopped, I don't know, but it's nonetheless teaching us a great lesson here. As far as I can see it, it's like an angel, isn't it? The angel of God will encamp round about his people, and he will deliver them. And we want to pray to that end tonight. May God bless his word and challenge us through it for the Savior's sake. Now, we are remembering those who are suffering tonight. We have seen these pictures and the devastation. There is sound to these here, so if anyone on the media there is able to give us the sound, we'd appreciate that. Over 1 million refugees, we are told, have now fled the country. We have the food distribution that Faith in Action has been engaged in, and these are just some of the photographs that our brother Donald has sent to me as they've been reaching out to God's people in Ukraine. The money arrived just at the right time. They got the money in at the start of the war, and so there was sufficient money to buy food for these needy families. And we see them queuing up for food provided by Faith in Action. I take it we don't have sound. I'm not quite sure. I'm not technical enough. Everything's plugged in here. These are some of the refugees that are in the House of Hope. You may have heard of this Christian center. They have been busing them in to provide for them. They're sleeping here, they're eating here. You can watch the sights even though you can't hear, and just think of the people as you do so. Children are born in the Kirshenbaum shelter.
Вот так вот, друзья, 21 век, город Херсон, подвал. Большинство здесь уже родило, есть маленькие дети. А вот две у нас на подходе. Передайте привет, пожалуйста. Всем гадам, которые нас сюда загнал.
So we didn't understand exactly what he was saying, but I think he did say, will you give a wee wave? And that's what they did. So you think of these ladies and their circumstances and down in this shelter, which is like a maternity ward for them. The children in Pastor Pavel's fellowship at the House of Hope, crying unto God.
Защити всех детей, которые находятся сейчас здесь. Защити всех, чтобы россияне поняли, что мы не войне. И нам закончится эта вся война. Чтобы все было хорошо и никто не пострадал. И чтобы танки не стреляли в дома.
May God bless the children, and may he hear their cries and their sobs, and may he help us to join in prayer with them, and our young people to pray. May God lead our young people in these days to be young people that love the Lord and love the place of prayer. Christian family singing despite the darkness of the
war. Коли дух Господень наповняє мене, молюсь я тоді, як Давид.
We've been in Romania and Bethany Baptist Church there in Timișoara received their first refugees yesterday. His mother and her son and the father, I think he was lying down at this time. He was very tired after all his journeys. And this is a building beside the church where the kindergarten used to meet. And so they've opened it up There's a kitchen there. There's a dining room facility there. There's a number of beds. At this moment, they're providing 4 rooms and 12 beds, but they can extend that as the Lord enables them. And we want to send out some items to help. I have a list. I did print it out. I think it's sitting in my study there tonight. And we'll get it put up on the WhatsApp group. If anyone would like to help with those things, we'll get them shipped out to them. There's an Ukrainian family. You may have seen this. Maybe most of you haven't. And they're singing the hymn, "He Will Hold Me Fast." I'll let you hear a little bit of this.
From
going to sing that hymn in English tonight. It's not in the hymn book, but you've heard it sung before. When I fear, my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. He must hold me fast. Let's sing this hymn together. Let's stand to sing.
Thank you.
do remember the sick of the church. Some of the names we've mentioned already, and the others are there for your remembrance. It's a special night as we call the congregation to prayer. Special night in the history of this church in the midst of war in that part of the world, as we remember those in need. What do you pray for? I'll leave these up on the screen so that you have them there. Pray for a speedy end to the war. Pray for the overthrow of wicked and evil men. The psalmist spoke about that tonight. Pray for the protection of the Ukrainian people. Pray for the comfort of the church and conversion of sinners. We've heard of men coming to Christ in these days. Pray for the believers in Ukraine, and not forgetting the believers in Russia. There's a lot of the Russian people do not want this conflict, and certainly the believing people and other Eastern European countries. Remember those of like precious faith. Pray for wisdom to be given to world governments. In these days, they're making decisions, never like to be in their shoes, but pray that God will guide them in his providence. Pray for the missions that are working tirelessly to help, and the three outlets that we're thinking about from the Mission Board, Faith in Action, that's Donald Fleming, the Slavic Gospel Association, and then, of course, the Romanian Church, who are helping as well, that we know. Pray for the food and aid distribution. Pray for a good response to the appeals that are being made. We can see people rising up through the country, and everybody is doing their own bit. And we're only a small denomination, but we can still do our own bit. And I know that this congregation will. And then pray that God will overrule for his own great glory. I want to thank those who have been with us tonight on the internet. And we're going to say goodnight to you. You might like to have a time of prayer just where you are in your home and pray with us, but we're going to leave you. We're going to just come together now quietly, privately in the church and pray together. So we say goodnight.